Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region Number 5. Hopefully you had a great day. Today is July the 28th, 2016. It is a Thursday, and I just want to, once again, thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. It's very, very important because it gives us all great hope, and we have great faith, and it actually gives us an opportunity to have our faith reinvented and reestablished, because each of us are here and looking forward to making a better existence for us all, and that is one of the most important things that can never be defeated: our overall relentless human spirit to do something to collectively together. And I just want to thank you all for taking that overall pledge and that overall and energizing us in that direction, because this is going to pay great, great benefits to us all in the future. So let's get started into today's show. But once again, I sincerely, sincerely thank you all for listening to Black Talk Radio Network and for chiming in and listening to Tando Radio Show. So let's go to the business at hand. And we always start with supporting Black Talk Radio Network and all the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network by you giving some of your financial energy to the network. And you can do that by going to Black Talk Radio Network's website and go to blacktalkradionetwork.com/crowdfunding digital black media, and you will see the crowdfunding campaign is going on right there. Very, very important. Jump in there and check out how you can support the network. You can support the network by making a financial donation and giving some of your financial energy to the network so it can continue to grow, meet the needs that it needs to stay on air. Once again, meet the needs that it has in order to stay on air. And that is basically what it is. And this is something that we do want to grow and want to have for the long haul. So you can do that by going to the crowdfunding campaign that's there. And option number one that you can do, you can donate right there on the website, hit the donate button, or you can do it by way of PayPal. And here's the options that you have. You can make a one-time contribution of $24.99 or less via PayPal by sending a check or money order, and make that check or money order out to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. Once again, you can make the check or money order payable to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. And by doing that, you will receive the monthly statistical, statistics performance report for the radio station and the social media operations via email. Make sure you give a good email in order for you to receive that information. Next, option number two, for just one penny more, you get a free T-shirt as well as the emails that you have. And the free T-shirt is a Black Radio Station Matters T-shirt, and you will receive that as an appreciation for your contribution. If you would like to receive more than one T-shirt, all you have to do is give a donation in intervals of $25. So for two T-shirts, $50, three T-shirts, $75, four, $100. And that will get you as many T-shirts as you would like. They would just come in intervals of $25. So make sure that you include all sizes to the T-shirts that you will be receiving, and make sure you have a good shipping address, and just overall make sure everything is legible so that there is no delay in you receiving what you are entitled to by your contribution and your donation. So that's option number two. Option number three, you can become a monthly contributor of $25 or more, and by doing that, you will receive the email reports, your free Black Radio Station Matters T-shirt, and you will be eligible for gifts once the radio station is going to be giving out gifts from time to time. So those are the ways that you can actually support the network, and you can do that on the website by PayPal or by sending a check or money order to the station. And once again, that check or money order should be made out to check money order. Well, cashier's check should be made out to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. So just want to get that out so that you know how you can support and how we all can ensure that that Tando Radio Show, Black Talk Radio Network, and all of the programs that are brought to you by the network are here for you in the future. So that is critical. Thank you all that have already contributed, and our monthly donors, and those of you that plan on doing it, thank you for your thoughts and your plans to give. And for those of you that are actively doing it now, thank you all just as equally well. Just remember, no donation at all. All donations are completely appreciated, and we thank you for that, because that ensures that the network will continue to do what it needs to do. So now let's jump over to Tando Radio Show on Facebook. Check out our Facebook page. Let's check out some of the articles that we've posted since yesterday. And let's check out what's in the news. Number one, posted this one yesterday. This came from Superstation 95. Democrats running an ad on Craigslist for actors to fill the empty seats at the DNC. $50 a day to applaud. I just bust out laughing. It's amazing. This is one of the things that I said just before we went to Brother Davis on Wise Wednesday yesterday, which was a great, great show, is that, what was it, 8 years ago? And they just repeat the same things over and over again because it works, and people have a very short attention span, and that's, that is deliberately done. And it was just 8 years ago or so that the Republican Party was so-called on the cusp of collapse and everything else. Now is the, see, this is why it's all a charade. And this is why we must walk away from those things that don't benefit us. My man Scotty, is trying to save his voice, and don't respond or anything, Scotty. But one of the things that Scotty said that's very true, I don't participate in any form political, but one of the things that is beneficial is your local government. I'm going to tell you why, because you can reach them. It's the only reason why. You can reach them, and it is a stair-step process. So those areas are much more sincere. Until there is a system that is designed that the people, the will of the people, can only be energized and collaborated by those people that want to be a part of that only people group. And until we start to focus on the individual, then the individual groups, then the individual, until we start to put the emphasis where it needs to be, it should never, ever be about a state or a nation, because that is not a living spirit, ladies and gentlemen. There is no such thing, there is no such thing as America, because it doesn't exist unless you and the people give energy to its facade of existence. It is not, it is a person, and every person is not a living being. It is just a thought, a direction, a culture, a decision. But this is where I think it's critical for us to change the business that we've been doing. Next one, very, very important one. This one comes from Superstation 95 also. Deutsche Bank announces 98% drop in profits. This is something that we need to talk about. Next article, and this one came from Sputnik News. This one, hold on. Okay. Here it is. Irreparable consequences. China and Russia angry about the Fed. In South Korea, the United States and South Korea are obsessed with containing North Korea, but Washington aggressively expands its THAAD, and that is a missile system that they're placing in South Korea that is really targeting China and all this. The overall perpetual move towards war is growing, ladies and gentlemen, and is it's a very steep one. Next article. This one came from, where did this one come from? RT. Germany mums internal army used as top officials claim Islamic terrorists has arrived. What they plan on doing in Germany. Here is the blueprint. This was my commentary. Kind of long, but here it is. The expanded world of conflict and war has grown, developed, and spread everywhere. The cells of terror have been placed, which are being activated in order to foster global nuclear war one, starting in Europe first, as well as the banking collapse as it goes hand in hand. All out war will bring in martial law here. Stand by. It's building into a greater force. It is not stopped. If not stopped, then the next best thing is to prepare for it, period. What is going to happen? The destabilization globally. This is why it's so important for us to know what's going on throughout the world. This is why it's so important for us to engage in what's going on throughout the world. Because if we don't know these things, we don't see the full conspiracy agenda. We stay focused, we stay, tunnel vision, and we don't really see what's really going on, so that we can look back and go, see what you're doing here. It's not going to work on me. So very, very important for us to have a real look and a real gaze towards the horizon of things, instead of everything that's just right in front of us. Because believe me, what's in front of you was purposely put there in stages. So this is basically saying that Germany is going to now put its troops in on the streets. That is martial law. Why is this such a theme everywhere, ladies and gentlemen? Because this is the overall plot, and this is the overall direction that you're going to continue to see grow everywhere. Once again, there is no such thing as war. It's only governments, fraternal governments and corporations attacking the general population, because the casualties and the collateral damage in war is 100% civilian. 100% civilian. There is no collateral damage, or there is no destroying of governments at all. And until we start to see that, until we start to see what is really happening, and how this is nothing more than a trick and a deception for depopulation and control, it will continue to happen. Let me ask you all, this is why a person is not a living being. How many governments have you ever seen that were killed and murdered? How many governments have you seen that were wrongfully accused and imprisoned? How many governments have you seen that have ever been enslaved and oppressed? None, none, none. Because those entities are the facade in which the preferred method of doing just that to people. This is where we truly are. And this is where we need to start to come up with a conclusion other than the thought process or the manufactured propaganda that's presented to us by all forms and means of schooling, propaganda, and fads. This is what's really happening. And this is, in my opinion, and it's very important for us, you, the Tando Radio Show listeners, those of you that listen to Tando, to spread the word about Black Talk Radio Network, for you to spread the word about what's going on, because this is something that we should be dealing with, because we are all the targets. It doesn't matter. They don't. The system doesn't care who you are. It just cares what it can take and use from you. And until you start to care who you are, and when you start to care who you are, quickly something comes into view is that you should be caring about everything around you. This is the fulfillment of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness in the heaven that we could create that we never really fully understand and we never really fully formalize to build a culture that can withstand any storm. We must look at things much greater than ourselves. We have to look at, in my opinion, it's so beneficial for us to look at things from a perspective of our appreciation for what was given to us and our abilities that were given, our talents that were given to us. We did not acquire them. We can only use them, and I hope that we are not going to continue to squander the great gifts that we have. And that great gift that we have is the ability to fulfill our unique individual contributions as one. Very, very important. So check out this article. This is the expansion of the global war the world war that's going to lead to global nuclear war one, which is won't be the first time that this happened on this planet. If you've done some research, it's been done plenty of times, but this is the one that you're going to see. Next article comes from Walking Times. Tobacco is legal, but cannabis actually kills and prevents lung cancer. Check out this article. Now, I am fully for weed. I'm not one that partakes in it, but I am fully for weed. I am not for anything that has to be sanctioned by the government at all. Because
hiring people is probably the worst part of my job.
Everything that they give is for a reason of taking, and it's not organic. It's always synthetic, because they don't want you to be healed. They want you to need health care. There's a big difference between being cured and having health care. We don't need health care. We need cures. And so I am fully for what the great creator, absent of man's hands, that has been created for our overall natural sustainable living. And weed is one among many things. It's not just one. It's many things. And I think we need to reconnect with all of those natural ecosystem treasures that are available to us all for what it is that we need. But what I would say is be careful, and we all need to be careful, because whenever they get involved, believe me, whatever it is that they're bringing you is destroying you. It is not the original design of what it is in the natural environment that's absent of man's hand. It comes from a laboratory and a chemist, and that's the real problem. And that chemist in that laboratory is going to create things to maintain the status quo of destruction and depopulation and enslavement of humanity. Next article. This comes from Walking Time also. The chilling history of Monsanto, rise to power. This is something that I'm going to send to Brother Davis also, because I'm not sure if Brother Davis is going to do a part two from yesterday's show, but this is something that goes right along with that, very, very important. Check out that article. Next one. Here we go. Comes from upi.com. $40 billion in aid to Israel is the largest to any country, says Susan Rice. $40 billion. $40 billion is given to Israel. Check out that article. Let me tell you, this is the major why we must. There is not a change that we need, because that is all a political propaganda program. It is a redirection and a walking away and a refocusing of our energy. Because if we don't, the status quo will continue. They will create debt that they don't have to pay, declare wars that they don't have to fight, make laws that they don't have to obey, and more importantly, they will make taxes that they do not have to submit. And when this is the thing, what many of us may lose focus of one thing. You know what the overall fraternal order of the corporations and governments are? Is to steal your energy. They don't care about your cash. They created it. They have the patent on it. They don't care about time. Time is what they created as an illusion to control you. What they care about is how you spend your energy, because how you spend your energy is how you spend your living physical existence in this time, in this moment in eternity. If you don't give energy to something, it doesn't live. They want you to continue to give energy to the DNC, the RNC, to voting, to wars, to enslavement, to corporations, to Monsanto, to this and to that. They want you to continue to be there and bring your energy, and they tell you what to do with that energy. They tell you to go over here. Okay, who are you? This is your name. This is your number. This is where you sit. And they tell you to repeat that, and you repeat it, and you take on that name, you take on that number, and you take on that life that they've already designed for you. That is the maneuvering and the enslavement and the subjugation of energy. But that can only happen if we and if you surrender that. How can someone kill you and they never gave you life? This is one of the biggest things that we have to get away from, fear. Fear is because we are afraid of things because of our belief system. We're not courageously emboldened off of our knowledge. This is why I put very, very little emphasis on what I believe. Because what I believe has not been proven, has not been bore out, and it does not stand the test of truth, which you know could. Not always, but it could. More likely more than what you believe. And it's very, very, in my opinion, it's critical that we move in that collective direction to actually live the way that we were created to live, free and independent. Next article, really good one. And I said, this is my commentary. Anger is popular and enjoyed by so many. And this is what it says. Anger is both poisonous and popular. There is no emotion we ought to think harder and more clearly about than anger. Anger greets most of us all every day. Check out this article. Very telling, so true. Why is anger so important? Because anger is the opposite of love. And this was created to control. Anger controls by physical force and violence and by intimidation, while love gives. Anger takes. And some of us have learned to become in love to be angry. I know we all struggle with it. I have to struggle with mine, maintain mine. You have to struggle with yours, maintain yours. But see, the thing is, once you know it, it no longer is the great monster and is no longer the great influence and is no longer the great drug that it was the day before. Anger is popular and enjoyed by so many. Let's not have it to be popular or enjoyed by us. It is low frequency, and it is something that does not perpetuate life, love, liberty, and all of the things that we all want to engage in. It is actually us emulating, idolizing, mimicking enslavement. That's what it is. So check out that article. Really good one. Next one. Oh, man. Favorite one. Not a lot of people check this out. It was only six people that this reached, man. A lot of people, you need to catch this one. This one is very, very critical, because not just from what it says it does here. This one, cinnamon could increase the ability to learn, the study says. The ability of cinnamon goes far beyond that. Everyone should actually engage in natural, non-GMO, non-altered, non-chemically created or laboratory or synthetic built cinnamon. Cinnamon has so many beneficial properties, from, you know, from your blood pressure to your blood sugar to, you know, strengthening your immune system. Cinnamon, so many things. Let me tell you, we talk about a lot of these things here because why? It is us really getting back to the ecosystem and walking away and giving energy to what man has created. Man has caused the great werewolf. The great werewolf is the werewolf is the beast that comes to kill and destroy by famine, wars, disease, and poverty. The werewolf, famine, wars, diseases, and poverty, is that is the great werewolf. And the way that you kill the werewolf is you kill it by the sustainable attributes of silver, because silver was naturally created by the great creator God Almighty to sustain life on and throughout this whole universe, not just here on this planet. And that's what kills the werewolf that was created and orchestrated by will and by choice and through energy of a selected few that has influence over the masses. That is what it is. So this is cinnamon. Man, more of you, if you haven't checked out this article, go back, know this article, invoke cinnamon into your life. Let's start to engage in the real love. And it's amazing when you have a relationship with different things in the universe based off of the ecosystem, the opportunity. We have never seen wealth the way that we could actually possess it. You know, it's so funny that a lot of our abilities have been hindered. A lot of our talents are our hamstring, and a lot of our creative forces are smothered and suffocated because of the environment in which we choose to stay in. And it's very important that we move away from that. So check out that article. Next one. This one, where did this come from? Oh, my commentary on this one, this came from Natural News. I said, use your time or use your eternity, currency, and money wisely. Federal government studies urges, because, well, I say currency and money because they're two different things. Your cash is your currency. Money is your assets, okay? Federal government studies urges Americans to prepare for a catastrophic event. Federal government studies urges Americans to prepare for a catastrophic event. This is going to, we'll maybe come back to this one that is there. And this is one of the things that I always like to say. If you learn their language, they will tell you everything before they do it. They tell you before they do it. Okay, check this out. Next one comes from IntelHub.com. Debt-ridden Puerto Rico, a corporate welfare paradise for GMO companies. Yes, it is. Not only for GMO companies, but for lenders that want to steal the sovereign wealth of what they don't command. And this is critical. Listen, everyone, get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to finish what's in the news, and then we're going to jump into today's show, very important show. So, and if you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#, and then once that'll put you in on the line, then when you're ready to talk, just hit *61, and you'll pop up on our screen, and we'll put you, we'll go straight to you. Don't like to keep the callers waiting. You're listening to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Welcome, everyone, back to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and we are looking at what's in the news. But just before we do that, okay, I got to tell y'all, there was yesterday, well, this morning, we pulled out a cantaloupe from our garden. Whew, my goodness. This was like the best, and I'm not really a cantaloupe eater. You know, I had them before. I didn't like a lot of things about it. You know, them. Some of it was, but man, this was the best cantaloupe that personally I have ever had. And this is one of the great joys. I mean, the great things about having your own food. Once you start to do it, there is no way you'll ever go back to anything else. You will just try to expand that. You will change your overall lifestyle to do it. You will cut out certain things. You will make sure that, hey, this is what I want. I want to have where I can have a garden, this and that. And I'm going to tell you, your interactions with your plants and other living things, that it's such a stress relief. But to actually eat the fruits of the plant that you, oh my goodness, this thing, this cantaloupe was so good. I wish everyone here that listens to Tando Radio Show could experience it. But we all can, if we will all just, some of us, if we will all just start to come together and start to plant our overall own gardens. You know, everything there was non-GMO, heirloom seeds and everything else. We need to start cross-pollinating the seeds in the gardens everywhere among ourselves. Believe me, when you start to do that, there are other people in the whole, your neighbors will do it, your people that you, everyone will start to do it. It will then, believe me, there will be problems. There will be a seed shortage, and there are some entities and forces that will ensure that. But once it starts, it's too late, it's already out the box. Now, some of the things from yesterday's show that we got to be careful of, and I'm, you know, really skeptical and hesitant of, is the cross-pollination with the overall GMO seeds, because they will cross-pollinate into your garden and mess up your garden. And so, but that's just a part of it all, but that is not going to stop me from doing. Greenhouses are the best things that you can do, but even then, you know, there could be some, but just to eat that real food, that way, the way that the great creator had designed that food to be eaten, man, the smell of the, you know, I loved smelling the rind, because you could actually, you know, after you washed it and everything, you could still smell the dirt in it, and it was no chemicals, no anything, and everything was just phenomenal. So we got a caller in queue. So I want to go there, because I don't like to keep our callers waiting. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hey, Brother Davis, man, I'm in Maryland.
Brother Davis, what's going on? Great, great show, Brother Davis. Great, great show yesterday on Wise Wednesday. As they all are. But once again, I just want to thank you and Sister Davis for coming on and doing Wise Wednesdays, because it's so, so needed to get our people in the position to see who they truly are and let the choice be theirs as to how they're going to respond.
Absolutely, brother. It's an act of love, so we don't mind at all. But I wanted to catch you while you were in the zeal of explaining a physical dynamic that takes place in the body when your hands plant a seed, and that seed bears a fruit that you can consume. You see, what you are doing is practicing a universal law, which is one of the first ideologies of being a human. You're
right.
Literally going out there and being resourceful enough to supply your own needs. And, brother, that's exactly what it's about. Now, let me tell you, there's an exhilarating process that takes place inside your body when the psychological and the physiological come together. And that's what happens when you consume something that you planted from a seed and it comes forth as a fruit or a vegetable. Because now you're getting what's called double autonomy, meaning that you're getting blessed by your personal experience first, and then you're being enhanced by the natural essence of the product of your work. So literally, it's a double spiritual lifting that people have to understand. These are practical universal laws that they want us to get away from. So your
right.
explanation of it was right on, brother. And listen, I'll go back in the back room and listen.
Oh, without a doubt, Brother Davis, you can stay on at any time and jump in at any time, because this is what we do here at Tando. And you know, it was so good that you just wanted to share it. You know, and my son was like, "Wow, that was good." And you know, it's a process to do it. And believe me, since we've been in Texas, and I'm glad that we could do it, because our overall eating habits after we left California, because there's a big difference between California and here in different ways, good and bad. But the food portion of it was a bad side of it. But I'm just so happy that the garden has blossomed so well, and it's going to continue to grow. And So I really would love for everyone to share and to have that same experience. Now, I would say this is probably one of the critical things. Like Brother Davis said, it's a dual autonomy that's so important. We want you to experience and to share that, because the process of learning is never completed until you give away what it is that you have learned. And this is something that we all should be engaging in. Give food. Give food to your family. Now my children will forever be farmers, will forever have a garden. This is the same thing that you want to leave as a legacy to your children, because the overall benefits of it is amazing. From the smells, from everything, you know, there is going to be trial and error. You want to go through those trial and errors. And I'm going to tell you, one of the key things to doing things very well is to focus on what went wrong, not from a standpoint to where you are ashamed or you think that was a failure. See, a lot of people don't like, before you can be a champion, you first have to learn the art of losing. And when you start to develop your garden, you have to learn what the mistakes are that you can make because of the environment that you're in, because very few of us have that overall ability to farm the way that people have passed down from generations in their culture. Because that has been lost, you know. So it's very, very important, because there's some of you that actually have probably some of the greatest farming techniques and talents that have been suppressed. And you wonder why you're unhappy, because there's a joy in life that we're missing. And it's more than just eating. You know, like Brother David said, you know, you don't eat for taste. I always say I don't eat for pleasure. I eat for nourishment. And I try not to have an addiction to that. But in this world, there's so many addictions that we can have. And once you start to change those by doing other things, man, it blossoms, it blooms, and it goes in so many different directions that it is amazing. So this is what we all have to engage in. The opportunity to grow ourselves first. The first seed that you plant before you plant it in the ground, it's the one that you plant in your spirit. And that is the one that bears the most fruit. That is the one that continues to give. This is where you can use your full talents and your capabilities to be the tree of life, to be the tree of knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life, and all those other things that have been taught to us at advent of the truth. And then you'll start to see a real universal truth. The great creator can't be bottled in the shape and form that man has created, because that is manipulation. So very, very true. We got a couple of other things in the news, but we have one other caller. One go there. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Yes, yes, my people, what's good? It's your man, Dr. Hawkins.
Dr. Hawkins, what's going on? Dr. Hawkins got some good news for everyone. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, first I just want to say that,
yeah,
you know, just the way that the easiest way to understand what Brother Davis was just saying is that, just say, for example, the same way the nutrients that you put in your body changes the overall complexity of your being and restructures your DNA, RNA, et cetera, and adds on to the overall genetic strength of your gene pool.
Wow.
The same thing happens when you replenish the soil that you're planting your garden in with minerals as well. Now, take, for example, a place like China. We all know China has over 2 billion people. Well, imagine how depleted the soil is there.
Right.
All right. I don't eat anything that comes from China, especially not tilapia. All right. Not from China. All right. So the thing is that the soil is so, so, so depleted, y'all. And if you ask me, just being candid about this, I think that our government purposefully took the silver and other precious metals out of the soil for a reason. We're supposed to have such amounts of these nutrients in our food.
Oh, wait, Doc. Oh, wait. You know what? I've been studying, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but you're absolutely right. And I never, ever thought about it that way in all my years of studies of the You're absolutely right. And what Doc Hawkins has just said, we really need to pay attention to, because it... Man, Doc, go ahead, because that is very, very powerful, and that is so true. And in the overall ramifications of that, wow, you're absolutely right. Doc, say that one more time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, okay, well, silver, as you know, in the body. Well, first of all, let's do a bit of a comparison. Silver and, let's say, copper. Copper is better at killing viruses, bacteria, protozoa, and et cetera, on a dry surface.
Dry, right, right.
Okay? And now this is something, you know, I talked to David about, you know, a couple years ago.
Yep.
And it's true. As a matter of fact, David, I got an article that I want to send you regarding that. Now, several years ago, around 2006, quietly, of course, the federal government started requiring a lot of butcher shops around the country to start using copper cutting blocks instead of wooden cutting blocks, because the copper killed bacteria and such, and the viruses. You can't spread on copper. Now, if you notice, all of the utensils in the hospitals are made of what? Stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know that stainless steel is basically an incubator for viruses and bacteria.
Right.
In fact,
exactly, it's porous to it. Exactly,
viruses and bacteria can survive on stainless steel for almost 100 hours. That's a long time. But then when you think about it, most people catch MRSA. Like, say, for example, every year over 1 million people are infected with MRSA, and they catch the doggone disease in the hospitals.
Yep, yep.
For the
staff
longest
infections
time,
and everything. Yes. Go ahead, Doc.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, and when I first started my company, one of the major sellers that we had, and we're going to get back to this, was selling silver doorknobs. Copper doorknobs. Look at the old buildings around. Y'all mean the real old buildings, the old schools, the mm-hmm. courthouse, all that. Now you notice all of their doorknobs are made of copper.
Yep.
Do you think that was a coincidence? No, it was not. Now, silver is better in a wet environment, or at least in a moist environment, specifically inside the bloodstream, or inside the human body in general, or inside of the earth. Okay, so they took the silver out of the soil so that it couldn't produce, so that the earth couldn't produce the effective microorganisms that it needs to really sustain your food. Because your plants don't just need sunlight, my people. They need effective microorganisms to really get to the next level. And this is something they've known for a long time, but they've suppressed the information. And having silver in your soil will do that. But guess what? So will gold. But the difference between silver and gold is once silver is gone, it's gone. It's not
gold.
Right. You can take gold and like you can go somewhere and you can take gold wire and you can scrap it and you can refurbish it. You can't do that with silver. Once you put that in an electric appliance, the silver is slowly, surely diminishing. It's going to be gone. Right?
You're consuming
if you look around the world, there are no just really huge, large stockpiles of silver like there are gold. And it's because silver is in a whole other state, and it's completely disappearing. And according to some of the experts, the price of silver is about to shoot up, but that's another story. But anyway, they're taking the silver out of the ground so that you won't get the trace amounts of it in your food that you need to sustain yourself. Now, I told y'all yesterday about the white gentleman who actually patented fish poop with magnesium in it. I want y'all to really think about that. All he did was add magnesium to the water. The fish consumed it, pooped it out. They patented the poop. How the heck is that going unchecked in the black communities? And y'all want to know something else? I'm about to drop a bombshell on y'all right now. You might want to hold on to your intellectual hats and put on your seatbelts. You ready to listen to this? Okay, there's an organization, the largest organization in America of black farmers. It's called the National Association of Black Farmers, or the National Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association. Okay? Take a wild guess who I talked to several months ago. The president, the founder of that organization, and he's a white guy. Like really, really think about what I'm telling you. A white guy owns the largest supposedly black owned farmers union association in America. It's a 501(c), which means that they are receiving government funds.
Government. Yep.
As
and
a
benefit.
Black organization, and it's owned and operated by white people. No matter what chapter you call, I call the chapter in North Carolina, got a rude ass white guy on the phone that I almost had to cuss out. Called Florida, it was the same thing. Called a couple other states, it was the same thing. I was like, what the heck? And then finally, the president, who's on my friends list on Facebook, and I had no idea he was the president. Because I thought the president was black. You know, Mr. Bartle Brown and some of those other guys, Dr. Hughes from Cheney University, we've had these talks and they never brought that up. You know, and so once I figured it out, I called Harvey Brown, you know, who was one of their oldest members. I said, Harvard, the president, the founder of the Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association is white. He didn't even bat an eye. He said, Doc, I don't see what you're so upset about. I don't see what you're surprised at. They've been doing this for a long time. And it's like, and Harvard is almost 70. So these older guys just basically just gave up the fight. They said, okay, look, these white guys are running our Black Farmers and Agriculturalists Association. Do you realize how many hundreds of millions of dollars they received from the government over the last 10 years alone as a black owned and operated organization, and none of the chapters are run by black people? The guy that started it is not black, and black people sitting back letting that crap happen, and nobody's being arrested first and foremost. If that's not fraud, I don't know what is.
So the agenda, the conspiracy agenda, this is why everything is fraudulent. It's ubiquitous fraud. Go ahead, brother. I didn't mean to cut you off, Doc.
Hey, I'm done. I just wanted to lay that on the people. Hey, don't believe Doc. Look into it.
See, this is why, Doc. This is why it's so important for us to break away from the system and break away and run into ourselves. This is why you need to be a farmer. Talking about our listeners here. This is why you need to be what you need to acquire and what you need. Your haves and needs. There are some things that you need. There are some things that you have. And in between those haves and needs, you need to be at both ends of that spectrum and in the middle. If not, you're relying upon someone else. And in today's world, most likely it's attached to an agency or a person that intends to keep you right where they want you. And that organization, that corporation, that government, that entity has you already tied in because you're using the system that they created. This is why we must walk away. And it's so, so important. And what Doc is telling you, you know, they purposely, and one of the things about silver is you don't get any more silver on this planet and live on this planet. If you get more silver on this planet from what has been consumed, ladies and gentlemen, you're not on this planet any longer. You are extinct because the earth does not produce silver. It's extraterrestrial. It is produced in the universe to sustain life universally. This is why they know and we don't. And they do and we don't. They rule and we don't. And until we start to come into some fundamental truths, some accurate truth, and start to apply that truth to our lives without asking permission from someone that didn't give you the truth in the first place, we have what's called the world in which we live in under international laws, treaties, and rulings. This is what we have, the global governance by corporations, entities, and by the overall establishments of schools, churches, religions, and everything else. Doc, man, that was a bomb. I didn't know that, but I know one black farmers organization that is owned and operated by the people that it benefits. That is in the Wren family, the Wren clan, the Wren clan, a tribe farm. So, Doc, amazing, amazing. I mean, just I didn't know that was a bomb. But great call. Hold on, Doc. But Doc, hold on before we go to how much time we got. Okay, before we go to Doc, there's something that you're doing this weekend. There's a special that you have for the water filtration systems for the home. Could you tell what you have and what you're doing?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, I'm holding a special until Saturday morning. Hey, can y'all hear me? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Doc.
Okay. I'm holding a special until Saturday morning. 10:30 a.m. Central Time is when it ends. I'm offering a master super filter package for $250. Now, this is a whole house package. Now, it's not the biggest package, but it includes a whole house filter, a NASA under the sink filter, and another carbon activated filter that serves as a pre-filter. And by the way, the NASA filter is double pleated, so it's basically two NASA filters in one. And but stock is limited. We're making room. And initially, we started out yesterday, David, when I talked to you about it. We started out with 150, and now we're down to 60. So, you know, they're going pretty fast.
Well, that's even far less than half of the price of it all. And listen, let me tell you why this is so important. It's your water. Your water, your water, your water, your water. It's water, then food. And this is critical, and this is something that is so necessary for you to have, because now you won't have to buy bottled water, ladies and gentlemen. You can convert the tap poison and make it into, you know, your own individual spring. So important. And then you can accumulate it. You can fill up your food grade barrels with it and put silver inside of it. Colloidal silver in nanoparticles in silver solution, which Doc sells, nanoparticle solution silver into that water source, and is going to keep it fresh. So important. $250 for the. Say it again, Doc. What is it again? $250 for.
Yeah, $250 for a whole house filter package, which includes technically a total of four filters. That is the NASA super filter, under the sink filter, with the pre-filter, and also a very large whole house filter. Now, it doesn't include the housings, but you could get housings anywhere, Home Depot, Walmart,
yeah.
You know, any place like that. But the thing that I wanted to do in an effort to help people, like, really prepare was to hold this special. But like I said, they're going real quick, you know. So,
and Doc, let me tell you the importance of that whole thing. Let me tell you, I have a Katadyn that costs more than what Doc is offering. That Doc will filter more water, and you have more filters to do your whole house. And I paid for just a small hand size one, and it has even more filtering capabilities than my Katadyn, and I paid more for that than what Doc has. The filters for this small handheld is almost equally in the price that what Doc has. This is a must get, and it's, so even if you don't have the housing, you can run water through it and just, you know, and everything else. But this is something that you definitely need to have. This is one thing on your prepared list that you don't have to worry about, and it will filter the water. Doc, you got to come on next week and just talk about the capabilities of your system. We got to have one day with you where you just talk about the capabilities of this water system, because it's so important for where we're going.
You know, and one other thing I want to add, y'all, is that the filters actually have silver in it.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, these are silver impregnated filters. So especially the NASA filter. So they're going to take out both types of lead. Remember, you got two types of lead, soluble and insoluble. It's going to take out a lot of the fluoride. It's going to take out the pesticides, herbicides, all that stuff. The chlorine. It's going to take it all out.
Well, I mean that is a no-brainer. That's what we have to have. Listen, everyone, got to get ready to go to a commercial break. I got kicked out of the system. I still can hear you, Doc, so great. Listen, give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#, and then hit star 61. You heard it here. Doc is offering the whole house system of filters for $250. That is a steal. Listen, buy the filter, go in with other people, do whatever you have to get them while Doc still has them, and then that's one thing that you don't have to worry about. And guess what? If there's no economic collapse, if there's no war, nothing, it's, guess what? Your water is still polluted. Brother Dave, a must. So,
Brother Dave, before we go to break, do you want to set up that audio to that video? Because it's like 30 minutes long. We could go into it right after the break and then still have 30 minutes left if you want to.
Yeah, I totally forgot. When we come out of the break, I'm going to go to that. Yes, thanks, Scotty. I got to log back in because it kicked me out because we're having a storm here in
I can play it from this end.
Okay, cool. So, all right, everyone, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump into the financial side of things. There's an article I want to jump into real quickly, then we're going to jump into there. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Hold on, Scotty, before playing that, what I got to do is I'm going to quickly set the table for what you're about to hear when we go to this video. Now, I can't look, the power is out here. Well, my internet is knocked out here because of the storm. We got a little storm coming through here in the area that I live in FEMA region number 5. Now, what is happening, ladies and gentlemen? Today, the second oldest bank in Italy actually tried to have its overall investors to help to ensure that this company, that the bank is recapitalized, and a bunch of banks backed out because I'm telling you, there's blood in the water. They want this to happen because this is how they gain more institutional value, and they take over sovereign resources. Let me tell you, to 2008-2009, when you saw the banking crisis and you saw the housing collapse, what you were seeing was this, is that you were seeing the corporations that were in trouble, okay? Now that has grown, and purposely so, all of that has been seized and set forth and spoken for. Now the only thing to do was to get sovereign national debt, which means you get countries where they can not pay their debt, where they are enslaved to the lender, where they are insolvent. And that's what's happened, ladies and gentlemen. Now, why is that so important? Because this is the overall global move towards the Trans-Pacific Partnership and further beyond, where individuals don't have to be accountable to any form of law written by the people, which is never written by the people, which is what is thought to have been written by the people. And why is this so important? because what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, is that they are had to get everyone, and they wait to the appropriate time, the right time to do it. And what do I mean by the right time to do it? I want to give this systematically to you what's happening. They wanted the general population, they wanted to be enslaved to the overall system of subjugation. And this is how they do it. They wait until there is a large birth rate that happens in different generations. And in this generation, so-called, there was so-called the baby boomers. Well, they let those baby boomers work and give energy to the system where they're able to take resources without paying for them. They're able to claim resources as their right by denying you your birthright to using resources collectively. See, when you hoard something, that means you prevent someone else from having it. And what they've done is they've hoarded resources throughout the world so that the people of the world can't use them. I mean, now this creates a disparity of those that have and those that don't. And then those that don't have, what do? They build a kingdom of ways and means. Their way of life provides someone else's means of life because they don't have the resources to be independent. If you did not have to work for someone with you, no. If you did not have to pay taxes to someone that you didn't owe or nothing was owed or nothing was due to them with you, no. If you did not have to be taught to be the perfect captive, the perfect slave, would you sign up for that class? No, no, no. But see, there's a method to doing that. And what one of the methods was is that they realized from the birth rate that at the appropriate time, use those individuals, trick them into giving everything that they have from their labor, and at the time when they're no longer producing at the rate that they were producing for the overall establishment, now is the time to transfer it into gear two. Take it out of first gear and put it in the second gear. And second gear is when you have a large population of people that are no longer productive. Now is time to go into a massive cycle of depopulating. And this is why they start to tell you that the cities are overpopulated, that the world is overpopulated. They give you all of these excuses, which are lies, 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 lies. But we're too busy in life because we're trying to make it in their world that we don't really see what's really happening. And what ends up happening is that whatever they decreed, we make sure it succeeds. And this is what was happening. So what happened is this, is that they've established the overall banking sector to take over small corporations, to make larger corporations, to take over mom and pop stores, so to take over, to deforester, to actually knock down the forest and to make sure it's difficult for people to become sovereign and independent by having a concrete jungle and not having the ecosystem established. And this is why so many different birds, so many different animals, so much of the living rainforest, so much of the lungs of the earth are being destroyed through the chemical process of intoxication that is killing them. The same chemical intoxication that is being used against you. And so now, and then there's also not only the chemical, but there's an economical opponent to it all. See, they divide the lines. And so now, they divide the lines by ways of economic disparity, okay? And so now what's done now is that they first wanted to institute the overall corporations. Now they do the sovereign. Why is this so important? Or national. Why do they want countries to go broke? This isn't like 2008. This is far, far worse because it is not a corporation that's going broke. It's a whole country. Why is that so important? Because what happens is this. They steal all of the resources that the people said, yes, we are part of this country. Yes, I'm Italian. Yes, I'm French. Yes, I'm this. Yes, I'm that. And all of this is ours. So they get you to say ours, 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 so that you'll fight, kill, and become an extremist for that national agenda. And then what they do is they come in and take away from that. And then now when they do that, they say all of the resources are theirs. And then now it's a fight for you to get resources from a position where you can never obtain. It is going to be a new caste system that is going to be established. And this is going to be established by way of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which means that you have tribunals that will decree that a business has the right to a profit above and beyond the laws, which means that they can poison, use uranium, use whatever they want to make a business. What does that mean? This is where the whole world will be actively enslaved simultaneously, even on a much broader scope and scale. And how do you do that? You have to do that by first distracting the people, impoverishing the people, placing fear into the people. You have to attack them with the werewolf of disease, the werewolf of poverty, the werewolf of war, and the werewolf of famine. And that's what they're going to do. And then once that happens, people will be on their knees begging for this, for whatever. They'll beg to whatever corporation and politician that says, this is our leader, we need Steve Jobs, we need Apple, we need this, even though he's gone. But see, this is the ideology that they put inside of you so that you think that these individuals mean you well when they don't. We need some innovative thinkers, and we need leaders, and they're going to lead you right to hell. And this is the process in which they do that, by systematically and methodically destroying so that it is not overtly apparent to you what has happened. The first thing that they get you to do is to fight for your master, to fight for your enslavement. And they get you to fight for your enslavement by your overall participation in their economy, by their ways, by their political system, by their military system, by their healthcare system, by their laws, by their courts, by their policing, by their economic determination of prosperity and those that have and don't have, by their entertainment. And when you do this, you have people fully engaged in their own demise, that they are themselves are funding. And this is the process that has to happen right now in Europe, in Italy. The process of sovereign wealth is being destroyed because it's going to bring them the ideal situation for depopulation across the globe. Because once countries go broke, the people start to starve, and it's easy for a dictator or a leader to come in and say it was this person over here's fault, it was Russia's fault, it was America's fault, it was this fault, or we got to fight against them or else we're going to be annihilated as a people. And you've never been together as a people at all. You've only been divided. And so when Italy banking section goes Italy's banking sector goes down, Portugal, Spain is going down with it. Now, Italy is the eighth largest economy in the world. What in the world could actually bail out the top 10 economy in the world? Nothing, ladies and gentlemen, because everything that they brought you was fictitious and lies. It was all fiction. It was all deceit. It was all lies. So as Italy banks goes down, and tomorrow is a critical day for Italy to pass this stress test, and they build up this drama like it's a TV show. And they have the overall, as the world turns, there's people invading here, there's people doing this, people doing that, and we're not really seeing the individual strength that we all have to walk away from this system. And so what do? We follow the Democratic, the Republican, the government. We look for the leaders and we follow them straight to hell. And that's where they're always going to lead you, because ritually that's who they work for. That's not saying that all people are involved in that, but it's so compartmentalized, and the system is much older than you. It's new to you. It's not new to the overall system. It's been doing this for a very long time, and it is like clockwork. This is why they have what's called time, because they don't want you to focus on eternity. And they're going to systematically collapse because it's worked so well before, just like it worked so well with the Republican Party. Oh, it's in shambles, it's falling apart, so they need to have somebody else, and they bring you this dude named Barack Obama. Then now, oh, the Democratic Party is so-so, and they're going to bring you this dude named Donald Trump, and all of them going to lead you to the same exact place that you were before yesterday, enslaved, subjugated, and subject to losing your overall physical existence through depopulation. And we'll fight each other. We'll fight the person next to you that you should have alliance with, that have you have the most, you have more things in common with them than the system has with you, but you'll fight for the system. You'll do the system's dirty work. There's much dirt and blood on our hands. And we're all deceived into this. But guess what? One of the things about deception is that it's not really deception until they kind of give you hints and clues that this is a lie. And then you know what? We make a decision. Is this going to benefit me? If it is, I'll take it. That is a critical thing. And I can't get on the internet, so I got to go by, you know, what I oh, wait, I may have it here. Okay. There's one of the articles that we wanted to briefly catch on, and I didn't get to really expound upon this last week. There was a young man, and I told you about it, in Venezuela. There's two major things here. In Venezuela, where he was taking his savings and was putting it into food, okay? Putting it into food. Now, this is what, and he was stockpiling food. This is what it was. The brother's name is Gonzalez. I mean, her name is Gonzalez. His name is Ramirez. Here it is. Just real quickly. I'm going to go through this real quick. Mr. Ramirez still has their sleek apartment, refrigerator covered with sovereign magnets from vacations abroad, and a closet full of name brand clothes. Let me pull this up so I can see it better. Closet full of name brand clothes, but they're feeling hungry. And their feeling of hunger draw near. So when the Venezuelan government opened the long closed borders with Colombia this weekend, the couple decided to drain what remaining of their savings they had put away before the country spurred into an economic crisis and stockpiled on food. They left the two young sons with a relative and joined more than 100,000 other Venezuelans trudging across what the Colombian officials are calling a humanitarian corridor to buy as many basic goods as possible. This is money. This is money we have been saving for an emergency. And that is an emergency, Ramirez says. It's scary to spend it, but we find less food each day, and we need to prepare for what is coming. Gonzalez, 36, earns several times the minimum wage with her job as a sales manager for a chain furniture store in the western mountains of San Cristobal. But lately, her salary is no match for Venezuela's 700% inflation. 700% inflation. The Ramirez auto parts shops went bust after President Maduro closed all of the borders with Colombia a year ago, citing that uncontrollable smuggling had cut off the region's best avenue for imported goods. The couple stopped eating out this year, abandoned plans to buy a house, and put a for sale sign on their second car. There is no more sugar or coffee. There is no more butter or bread. There is no more infant formula for their 1 year old son when Ramirez, 37, went to get a late night snack on Friday. He found nothing in the refrigerator. So Sunday, the couple donned their nicest clothes and had, let me move this down, and hid fat wads of bills in their bags before heading to the border. They surveyed the stocks in their renovated granite kitchen. An inch of vegetable oil at the bottom of the plastic jar, a single pack of flour, some leftover cooked rice, no coffee. See how big coffee is this? What does this tell you about coffee? As a preparedness standpoint, you need to be stockpiling coffee as a bartering method and measure. Keys that you learn from what's happening to someone else, and compare to what's going to be happening to you. That's what they're saying here. Coffee is a great bartering because they would be giving up, I bet, half of their currency for coffee. All right, then they set off in their 2011 Jeep SUV into a bandit-plagued highway. The lights of a hilltop shadows towns gleamed in the blue night like stars. At the crossing, there were soldiers with automatic weapons patrolling a line that had wrapped around a dozen blocks. The couple considered turning back, but within minutes, the people started shouting that immigration officials were waving everyone through, and the lines broke into a stampede. Now, I'm going to stop there real quickly because we're going to have to get into what's going on. I wanted to read that to you all because of this. If you don't prepare, you have the opportunity to prepare right now. It doesn't matter what your economic situation is. You are going to have to look at what is the best avenue for you to prepare for 700% inflation in Venezuela. If it's 700% inflation in Venezuela, ladies and gentlemen, that means it's going to be 2100% inflation here in the United States, or even as far as 35,000 to 40,000%, 4,000% or 3,000% inflation here in the United States because of the overall amount of cash or currency that is in the system that is going to be flooded back because no one wants that debt. No one believes that the U.S. will pay, so they're getting rid of it and they're going to move to something else. This is what happens. Just imagine when you have old baseball hats. You have a bunch of old baseball hats and you don't want those baseball hats anymore because they're not in style. And you just throw them out and you have hundreds and hundreds of them. And you throw them back to the person that made them saying these are worthless, they're no good. You just throw them back to them and you go to something else. That is exactly what's going to happen here, ladies and gentlemen. The world is going to divest themselves in the U.S. dollar and the U.S. treasuries and the U.S. way of life, and they're going to divest themselves from your overall purchasing power and your quality of life that is ill-gotten. They're not going to buy anything from the U.S. They're going to get rid of everything from the U.S., and they're not going to want its currency. Why? Because they're going to want to use something else that gives them value and power. One, their currency, and they're going to use other things. Now, what does that mean for you? That means for you that what this family is doing, you need to be in front of and starting to prepare for. Now is the time to get the staple goods. What good is it by you going and buying some food that is only going to spoil within weeks or days, and you are going to walk away from God's economy? See, what man wants you to do is what man instructs you to do. Man is instructing them because of the fear they're not thinking straight. What they should be doing is acquiring seeds to grow food. But see, the thing about growing food is that it goes through a cycle. They actually needed to be doing this years in advance of this. They needed to be where you are right now. They were 2 years ago, and you are where they were 2 years ago. And if you don't do anything, you're going to be like them 2 years or 1 year from now. And the only thing that you'll be able to get is temporary food when you need seed, when you need a garden. But not only do you need a garden, everyone around you needs a garden, because if you have a garden and they don't, you won't have a garden for long. And this is why it is imperative for us all to come together. Now, I'm going to play, and I wanted to say that for this one, we're about to jump in this video. It's like 30 minutes. We'll pick up on this tomorrow. Listen, everyone, this is a design plan. What happened in Venezuela is this perpetual slow motion and methodical steps for the disease of impoverishment, for the werewolf of poverty and famine to start to consume one country at a time. As it goes and moves across its overall ritual and demonic infestation in each different place as it goes. And the big target is the United States, ladies and gentlemen, because once the U.S. goes, it's just like the Roman Empire times, you know, to the third power going. And this is very important. I'm going to just say this real quickly. Let me read this. The couple had in their hand, the couples had held hands to stop the crowd from pushing them apart. The two hours passed. People sang the national anthem. Gonzalez's feet attached to Tommy Hilfiger wedge heels. I'm going to just say this. All of your Jordans, all of your red bottoms, all of your things that has been perpetuated through fad and through trying to maintain a lifestyle of a facade, of a frivolous and unsubstanced lifestyle, all of that stuff is going to be nothing. And you know what you're going to look at that? You're going to look at those things that you paid for, those different things, and you're going to say, I wish I had that cash that I had back then, because then I would do something with that now. But it will be too late. The water will be wasted on the floor. And the only thing that you will have is those designer clothes, those Jordans, and they're not going to do anything for you because they have only limited value. When we should be acquiring assets, because it's assets that prevent you from, when you have assets, you transfer the liability of default from you to the fraudulent lender. This is critical. Read this article. Posted it on the 19th. Roz sent it to us. Read it, and understand what's going on. As Italy goes, Germany is being infestated Germany is being overrun with a Trojan horse, as well as the United States, because this is the globalist move. The destabilization of the whole world is now at hand, because the art of confusion is the overall a playpen of the devil. And I want to present you from having to be in lines to fight for 2 weeks of food when it takes you 2 weeks to get it, and you're only going to get 3 days worth later. You've been fighting it for it for 2 weeks to eat for, and it's not even going to be nutritional or anything of real value, so you're going to get a 2 weeks fight for 3 hours worth of food. And slowly you're going to find out that you are not sustaining yourself at all. And then that's when you will break down and be willing to do whatever the system tells you to do just for the pain to stop. This is what we want to prevent. Now, we're going to go to this video really quickly. And I can't, let me see. I think I got it, Scotty. No, I don't. Okay, we're about to play this video. Listen to is boring, but listen to what this man says, what the overall debt ratio is, and understand what that means, okay? This is over, you're talking about the U.S. is in debt over $300 trillion. He's not even going to say that, but he's going to allude to how much it is. It's unpayable, ladies and gentlemen. You have to protect and preserve yourself and your family now. Use the cash and the currency for what you should be using it for. Acquire assets. And we're going to be talking about the rest of next week what the assets are that you need to be getting, because it is high time that we change our direction. And the things that you need to be preparing for is up to you. So check out this, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Okay. If I'm on my way home,
yeah. Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Walker, the former U.S. Comptroller General of the United States, and currently a senior advisor at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Dave, come in.
Thank you, Rachel, very much. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I've been asked to
I'm going to have to stop that there. I'm going to have to play it from the actual YouTube account because that's just too low.
Okay.
I'm sure the people can't hear that, so give me a moment.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, people that can hear it on the telephone, you know, it's coming in at a different level as it go out over the radio stream. So people on the phone may be able to hear it, but others may not that's listening to it on the stream.
Okay.
Give me just a second as I
no
pull
problem.
Up the video.
Okay, and while you do that, I'll okay, now one of the things,
all right, here we go,
of the things
Dave.
I want you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Rachel Heisler. I'm here with the Campaign to Fix the Debt in Washington, D.C. I'm going to quickly turn the call webinar over to Dave Walker, the former U.S. Comptroller General of the United States and currently a senior advisor at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Dave, come in.
Thank you, Rachel, very much. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I've been asked to provide an overview perspective of federal and state fiscal challenges and some of the potential implications for the future. And obviously, we look forward to receiving your questions. So why don't I take about 10, 15 minutes maximum to cover some material. We have some slides that will help you follow along. And then we'll end up providing plenty of time for you to ask questions. Let's start off with the first slide, and let me say something provocative at the beginning. The federal government has grown too big, promised too much, is subsidizing too many, and needs to restructure. It's spending too much on consumption, not enough on investment. It faces serious future debt challenges that we've got to come to grips with in order to create a better future for our country, for our children, for our grandchildren, and future generations. In addition, a number of states and localities face serious challenges as well. And as we all know from Isaac Newton and gravity, bad news flows downhill. So when the federal government restructures, that bad news will have a ripple effect down to the state and localities. Typical state relies upon the federal government for 35% of its finances. Localities rely upon the states. And so we're all in this together. And we need to recognize reality. We need to capitalize on our strengths. We need to address our challenges. And we need to do it sooner rather than later. So let's start off with some evidential matter to back up some of the things that I said. In 1912, which is a little over 100 years ago, the federal government was only 2% of the U.S. economy. And that's really the way you need to look at the size of government. How much does it spend as a percentage of the pie? In 2015, the federal government was 20% of the U.S. economy, so basically 10 times bigger between 1912 and 2015. Now, you and I both know that the United States is, you know, has a different position in the world today. The world is a different place than it was in 1912. But the bottom line is we're 10 times bigger, and we're projected to grow even larger. More disturbing is the next slide, which shows that irrespective of the size of the federal government, the Congress has lost control of the budget. In 1912, the Congress controlled 97% of federal spending. The only thing that it didn't control was interest. And back then, we didn't have the Federal Reserve, so we couldn't manipulate interest rates. We had to play market rates. But if you look in 2015, you'll see that 68% of the federal budget is on autopilot. We're writing a blank check for 68%. We're only controlling 32%, and that 32% is going down as we project into the future. If you look at the next slide, you'll see what's happened with regard to deficits in recent years and what's projected to happen in the future. Yes, deficits are down significantly from the peak in fiscal 2009 of $1.4 trillion, but we're now headed up, and they're expected to rise in the future, due in large part because of known demographic trends and rising health care costs. And what's the fastest growing expense in the federal budget, according to the Congressional Budget Office? Interest. Interest on the federal debt. And what do we get for interest? Nothing. So let's look at the next graphic. This is what really matters. You know, a lot of people talk about deficits. A lot of people talk about debt. What we really need to focus on like a laser is how much debt do we have as a percentage of the economy. Not all debt is bad. Some debt is necessary. Some debt is prudent when we're making investments to create a better future. But too much debt is not good, especially when that debt relates to paying for current consumption or relates to creating an interest burden that crowds out other federal spending and opportunities to be able to create a better future. The truth is, with the sole exception of right after World War II and today, the United States has generally not had federal public debt to GDP levels in excess of 35 to 40%, except right after World War II and today. And if you're honest about the accounting, our debt to GDP today is not 75%. You have to count what we owe Social Security and Medicare, what's in their so-called trust funds, which is nothing more than federal debt. That's about 30% of GDP. So if you want to consider that, it's really about 105%. What's more important is it's moving up. And various economists have done studies saying that too much debt has a drag on economic growth, creates uncertainty with regard to the private sector, with regard to investment, and clearly we're experiencing that at the present point in time. People know that we've got to make tough choices. The question is when, how, and how would we phase it in? The next graphic will end up demonstrating that, you know, we have a lot of obligations that frankly aren't on the balance sheet. They're off the balance sheet. You know, believe it or not, the several trillion dollars that we owe Social Security and Medicare trust funds is not on the balance sheet. And furthermore, we've got tens of trillions of dollars of unfunded Social Security and Medicare obligations that are not on the balance sheet. And so you hear about $19.4 trillion in debt subject to the debt ceiling limit. Frankly, when you count unfunded civilian and military pensions, retiree health care, a range of other commitments and contingencies, and unfunded Social Security and Medicare benefits, the real number is at a minimum $65 trillion, depending upon what time horizon you use and what discount assumptions you use. The next graphic, we'll turn to the states. Look, the bottom line is this. We are going to restructure at the federal level. The question is when and how and over what time frame. But the bottom line is the federal government will end up taxing somewhat more than historically has been the case, and it will end up spending significantly less than it's projected to spend. The sooner we get started, the better, so we can get the miracle of compounding working for us rather than against us. And as I said before, the law of gravity says bad news flows downhill. So let's look at the states. This is a study that was done by PricewaterhouseCoopers Public Sector, of which I'm affiliated, where we basically rank the financial position and the competitive posture of the 50 states. And let me try to explain this quickly. In this one graphic, you'll see that there are 11 states that have a positive net financial position. And that net financial position is how much in net positive financial assets does it have as a percentage of median household income. So we're basically looking at, you know, what's the number per taxpayer, which is roughly equal to number of households. We're comparing that number to median household income to give you a ratio. And you will see that Alaska has a positive net financial position of 77.3% of median household income in Alaska. And 11 states have positive numbers. 39 states have negative numbers. And the worst is Illinois. Illinois has total liabilities and unfunded promises equal to about 81.9% of median household income. You ought to look and see where your state stands. The next item in brackets talks about what's the relative competitive posture of the state. If it's number one, that means it's in the top tier, the top 10 for competitiveness. If it's number five, it means it's in the bottom tier, the bottom 10 in competitiveness. And why does this matter? Because this has to do with how competitive are you with other states, and therefore to what extent do you have an ability to be able to grow your economy and tax base faster than the budget, which is key. Unfortunately, when you look at this, you'll see that most of the states that are in bad financial condition also have poor competitive posture. There's other information in this report which you can access through the website of the link that's noted on this table, where you can find out what net migration patterns are, which ones of these states are already experiencing net outflows of population. Unfortunately, a lot of the challenged states are in that category already. You can also ascertain how much of this is attributable to underfunded pensions and unfunded retiree health obligations. Typically, about 70 to 80% is attributable to that. And so I would encourage you to take a look, find out not just where the federal government is, find out where your state is, and then also your locality. Because ultimately, this challenge is cross-border. We've got outdated tax systems, we've got excessive regulatory burdens, unfunded retirement obligations, escalating healthcare costs, expensive and yet ineffective welfare systems, deteriorating critical infrastructure, and increasing intergovernmental dependency, both within government and between levels of government, domestically and internationally. So what's the bottom line? We have current unsustainable fiscal policies at the federal level and also in many states and localities. These are going to have to be addressed with. There's a number of common denominators between these, which I've touched on. We're going to need strong CEO leadership from the president, the governor, the mayors, the heads of county commissions, et cetera, to be able to deal with this. We need nonpartisan solutions that can gain bipartisan support. We need very conspicuous public engagement to lay out the facts, tell the truth, talk about the tough choices, bring people together on a shared goal based on principles and values that will bring people together rather than divide them apart, and then come up with those nonpartisan solutions that can get bipartisan support. And then negotiate on a private basis with the legislative bodies and other bodies necessary to make these things a reality. Eventually, the federal reforms will flow downhill. States and localities need to get ahead of that and be ahead of that downdraft. It's not too late to create a better future. Absolutely, it's not too late. But we need to get started soon. It's going to take patience, persistence, perseverance, and pain before we prevail. But prevail we must. Prevail we can, and prevail we will, if we all work together. Thank you very much, and let's see if you've got any questions.
Thanks, Dave. If you have a question, please type it into the text box, and please include your first and last name and where you're from. Why don't we start from an internal question here? Dave, what specifically can an executive, a president, or a governor do to show leadership and drive change on this issue?
Well, when you're the CEO, meaning president, governor, or mayor, you have the bully pulpit, as Theodore Roosevelt used to refer to it. You have the ability to command media attention, and it's important that you take advantage of that. Legislative bodies are very important. They have a key role to play with regard to trying to help deal with a lot of these reforms. At the same point in time, there are committees. You can't run a country, a state, or a locality by committee. And so you need to have a CEO who believes that this is a challenge that needs to be met, who's willing to spend time and energy and political capital to try to get it done, who will engage the public directly, honestly, in a constructive fashion along the lines that I've talked about, and then we'll negotiate privately on a bipartisan basis to try to help achieve the needed reforms, being informed by what they hear from the American people. Frankly, all too frequently what happens in Washington and many state capitals is people who are the elected leaders try to tell the public what needs to be done, or frankly, in many cases, won't even admit that something needs to be done. We need to tap the wisdom of the American people. They are ahead of the politicians in many regards. They know we have a problem. They're willing to accept tough choices. If they're part of a comprehensive, goal-oriented plan, consistent with principles and values that bring people together rather than divide people apart. So leadership. Leadership is the biggest deficit this country has, and the CEOs have the ultimate responsibility, but they'll need help from others.
Great. Thanks, Dave. Our first question from participants is Alex in Tampa, Florida. And his question or statement, and if you want to shed some light on it, is he's disappointed that the media doesn't cover the national debt issue to the extent that it should. What are your thoughts on that, Dave?
Well, first, you know, the media has been hollowed out. There's not nearly as many people in the traditional media as they used to be. Secondly, they're not making it, you know, as much investment in the area of investigative reporting that they used to. Thirdly, frankly, some of the issues that we talk about are fairly complex, you know, and it takes time for people to try to be able to understand this. You know, frankly, I'm not surprised that we didn't get a lot of attention on these issues in the primary. I'm hopeful that the media will step up to the plate, along with other interested parties, including all of us, to be able to ask some of the tough questions of those who are representing us and those who seek to represent us as to what are their thoughts and what's their way forward. They're not going to give us a lot of details, but what we can do at a minimum is to try to see if we can get them to agree that there is a problem, that they'll make it a priority, and that they recognize you can't grow your way out of this problem, you can't tax your way out of this problem, you can't cut this way out of this problem. Everything needs to be on the table, and we need to do it sooner rather than later.
Thanks, Dave. Our next question is from Chuck Reed, the former mayor of San Jose, California, with the Retirement Security Initiative. And he he's complimented you and your work and was curious as to whether or not you will look at cities next.
Well, I do expect that we'll look at cities on a selective basis. I can tell you that I live in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which I would argue may be ground zero of fiscal irresponsibility in America. And as you know, Bridgeport is also in the state of Connecticut. When you look at the list, is number 47 out of 50 with regard to relative financial position, as in the bottom tier with regard to competitive posture, and is also a net outbound state. You know, candidly, I have encouraged my mayor, I've encouraged my governor to try to be able to take these issues on, and so far they've been unwilling to do so. So I think we will take a look at cities, but it's going to have to be in a much more selective basis because there are many more cities and municipalities than 50, which is a more manageable number.
Thanks, Dave. Our next question comes from Krista Jones, who's a legislative assistant in Michigan. And she wanted background on what legally states can do to resist federal mandates that are tied to funding for education and healthcare or other major policy directives.
Well, one of the things that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to reconsider what's the proper role of government and what level of government is best able to execute on that role of government. You know, the other thing that I didn't have a slide on, but it's very true, is if you look at what's happened since 1912, states' rights have been eviscerated. And the federal government has assumed more and more responsibility for things that, frankly, could be executed much more economically, much more efficiently, and much more effectively at the state and local level. And the truth is, it's been a couple of decades or more before we've had a very effective intergovernmental type of mechanism to be able to work with state and local governments and the federal government to try to figure out what needs to be done and to make sure that it gets done. And so I think hopefully what we'll see in the future is, as part of this effort to figure out how to put federal government finance together, is to also think about, well, what should be devolved? What should be devolved back to the states to give the states somewhat more flexibility with accountability, to be able to give the states some resources, but with flexibility to experiment, and to reduce the number of federal mandates. Because the worst of all worlds is where you're given more mandates and less flexibility and more accountability, and less resources. That dog don't hunt, as they say in Texas. And ultimately, we're going to have to recognize that reality.
Thanks, Dave. Another question I just got via email is, can you cite any positive case studies of states that have had success in turning around their finances? And as a reminder, if you're interested in submitting a question, please click on the text box, identify where you're from, and we will read your question out loud. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I think if you look at this list, okay, you'll see that there are a number of states that are in strong financial condition, and I would point to a couple. One is Indiana. Indiana's in the Midwest. It's the heartland of America. It's had Republican governors. It's had Democratic governors. It has improved its financial position over the years. It's improved its competitive posture. So I think Indiana's a good case. Some people would say, well, look, if you look at all these states, how do you divide these states in between so-called red states and blue states? And you'll find that, the red states tend to be in better position, but in part because they tend to not have as an expansive role for the government. They also tend to be where the economy is growing more, rather than a lot of the blue states, the economy is not growing as fast, and they have more legacy obligations. At the same point in time, there's a clear exception. Look at Oregon. Oregon's clearly a blue state. There's no question about it. And yet, Oregon ranks highly. And so it really has to do with, really has to do with recognizing that you've got to grow the tax base faster than the budget, and you shouldn't promise more than you can afford to deliver, and that if you make a promise, you need to make sure it's a promise that you actually fund. There's some fairly basic principles that we need to follow, and some states, frankly, are better at than others. So I'm going to say one last thing. 49 of 50 states have balanced budget requirements. Very few states have balanced budgets based upon a credible definition of a balanced budget. Because what happens is they balance their budget based on cash flows, they can accelerate revenues, defer expenses. Some states, including my own home state of Connecticut, have the audacity to borrow money at above market rates to be able to get bond premiums that can be used for current expenditures. And if they have money left over because they borrowed too much money, they call that a surplus. Try that down at your bank sometime.
Our next question comes from Bob. And he said, when you compare the debt as a percentage of GDP with other countries, are they comparable given that we have so many unfunded liabilities for Social Security and Medicare? For example, Japan has a high debt to GDP ratio. Do their reported numbers include retirement and healthcare obligations?
Well, what we have done, and when I say we, the Comeback America Initiative, which I headed, and Mike Murphy, who's chief of staff here at the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, was also involved with, we did a comparison of 34 OECD countries back in 2011-2012, looking at debt to GDP based upon the traditional metrics. The traditional metrics are public debt to GDP. Not considering trust funds, but then looking at it not just today, but over time, recognizing that that's the real metric we need to focus on, debt to GDP. Different countries have different levels of debt tolerance as a percentage of GDP, based upon the size of the economy, the diversity of the economy, and a variety of other factors. And the bottom line is, of the 34 countries that we evaluated, number one in the world at 2012 was Australia. Number 34 was Greece, and the U.S. was 26. Now I'm at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and I've talked to our leadership about the possibility of us being able to pick up the mantle on this and coming up with a new rating, a more current rating, using that methodology with possibly some revisions, and we'll see where we stand. But the bottom line is, we're below average with regard to our fiscal sustainability based upon our current path. We can, we must, and I expect eventually we will do better.
Our next question is from Andrew Cloyd, a recent college graduate with a Washington internship for students of engineering. His question is, you mentioned that there will be pain moving forward, something all elected officials wish to avoid for their constituents. What will catalyze legislators to bring upon this necessary pain despite the potential backlash from their voter base endangering their prospects for re-election?
Well, first, congratulations on graduating, and secondly, congratulations on being an engineering major. We need a lot more engineering majors in the United States, okay? The bottom line is you have to make the political price of doing nothing greater than the political price of making tough choices designed to create a better future for America, for our children, for our grandchildren, and future generations. One of the things that I get upset about is our current policies are irresponsible, unethical, and I would argue immoral. I got married at 19. My wife and I have been married 45 years. You know, we have 2 grown children and 3 grandchildren. And a lot of the things that are being done today, my grandchildren are going to have to bear that burden. That's not right because they can't vote. And so, what we have to do is, again, as I said before, we need a leader who will go to the American people, state the facts, speak the truth, talk about the tough choices, do all that I said, all right? We need to get the American people to be able to let their voice be heard so that we can create an environment where the price of doing nothing or continuing to kick the can down the road will be unacceptable. That's what we need to do. It's time to get on with it.
Our next question came in via email from Gary Zimmerman, who's the Chief of Staff at the Colorado Department of State. What are your thoughts, Dave, on a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution?
I do not support a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, but I strongly support a fiscal responsibility amendment to the U.S. Constitution, one that is focused on debt as a percentage of the economy. There are various groups that are trying to achieve what's called an Article 5 convention for a fiscal responsibility amendment. Under Article 5, the states have the right to assert themselves if the federal government ever becomes so dysfunctional that it doesn't do the right thing. Frankly, I think we're there. 28 of 34 states have already passed such a resolution. 6 more are necessary. And what I advocate for is an amendment that would focus on debt as a percent of the economy to be able to get our current level of public debt to GDP down to a reasonable and sustainable level by 2035. Let's say to get it from 75 down to 60. That's going to require that everything be on the table, but it's also going to require that we adopt pro-growth policies, whether it be with regard to tax policy, regulatory policy, devolution approaches. I think it's important that we do that because what matters is we need to grow the economy faster than the debt. We don't need to balance the budget, but we have to be able to reduce the related debt burden. And we cannot continue to have deficits and accumulate debt in peacetime when we're growing the economy. It's one thing when it happens when you're at war, you have foreign conflicts, or you're in a recession. But when you're doing it all the time, and it's only a matter of the magnitude of how much you're doing it, that's clearly unacceptable. That's clearly unsustainable.
We're going to take a question now from Vito Barberi, a state legislator from Idaho. His comments, the primary issue is pain. Legislators will not forego federal money no matter what the ramifications. Educators, state agencies, healthcare providers are not okay with any reduction in budgets in military
spending.
I assume for continued increases in budgets. Looking at realities such as these, a crisis is the only way to get their attention. How can we avoid a crisis?
Well, first, congratulations that you're in Idaho because Idaho is ranked number 7 on the state relative financial position index. You're also in the second tier on competitiveness, so you're in pretty good shape. Look, the bottom line is this. We're going to confront this, and we're going to make the tough choices. The only question is, are we going to wait for a crisis where we have to do it without adequate due diligence in a crisis management fashion where we have to do draconian things and we don't have time to educate people and phase it in? Or are we going to have committed, inspired, inspirational leadership, engage the American people with the facts, the truth, the tough choices, and the way forward, make those tough choices, phasing them in over time, which is a preferred way that will reduce the chances of a crisis and hopefully eliminate the chances of a crisis. I prefer number two. But for number two to happen, you have to have a CEO who realizes.
Financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the